C4. Number 5A.
I just quickly recapitulize what we have been doing for the first 4 hours. We started out by investigating the infinite one and could see that only that investigation which approaches the subject structurally could give us a full and satisfactory answer. In other words, that we need a structural sense of science and not just an analytical sense of science. Then we were contemplating that therefore the textbook, which has a structure, must therefore be approached through that structural consciousness, that only with a structural consciousness the textbook would yield more information than if we approach it atomistically. This implied that we had to ask ourselves what constitutes a structural consciousness, and the answer was that we need a divine system of reference, which again demands categories, the divine categories of being, and we could see that those categories of being are the capitalized terms. Then we were contemplating that the scientific method was the method of deduction from the one principle, but because we use the structural sense of science, that therefore we should be able to reason from that one principle in a structural way and not just in an analytical way. Therefore, going out from the fact that the divine principle has an infinite idea embodying laws and rules and their demonstration, so that we could see the divine principle has an idea of science, and that principle and idea constituting the only reality therefore excludes the contemplation of what is matter and is matter material. It excludes the contemplation what are people, what is man. It only needs the contemplation of the infinite one, including its own ideas. At that point, I come to the question, what then is idea? What are ideas? So I spend another hour on this question of idea and ideas. Again, we have taken it for granted that it is quite natural that Mrs. Eddy speaks about principle and idea, perhaps not even being aware that this was a terrific mutation in her consciousness, because before her, the religions were not interested in the question of idea. The Bible does not know that term. The Bible never speaks about idea and ideas. And theology at large does not speak about idea and ideas. But in the Christian Science thought or Christian Science theory or presentation, the term idea plays next to principle a super important place. We can see that therefore Mrs. Eddy has raised, so to say, the concept of idea to the throne of grace, and has seen that if we would understand what idea means, that would help us to see the teaching of Christian Science. The term idea was first introduced really by the Greeks, by Plato, and it is interesting to see how it took over 2,500 years for the term idea to unfold and unfold until that concept has the meaning that it has today. I don't want to go further into detail about how the concept of idea has unfolded since Plato. I have done that rather in detail at the summer school in Augenquit in 1969. Those tapes are still available, and those who are interested to see how the idea of the idea has unfolded through those centuries in the order of the seven synonymous terms. It wasn't so that right at the beginning, when Plato was speaking about idea, that he could see the full concept of idea, the full import of idea, and that it took the divine idea about 2,500 years to unfold the concept of idea to the point where today Mrs. Eddy could present it in a fuller way. I just run quickly through to show you the beauty of what's going on in spite of people, in spite of the philosophers, because they were always used by the divine idea to voice a next step. Plato began to see that really the idea is an image and would give us the right concept of all the material phenomena, that behind the phenomena lies an idea. That's how far he could see. Aristoteles made a step forward, or a further step, and began to see that ideas are substantial. He got the substantialistic concept of ideas. He considered the atoms as ideas, or ideas as the last indivisible unit of being. So he considered ideas as the smallest substance unit of the universe. Later on, Saint Augustine came along and would now show idea from the point of view of soul. You see, what I said in Aristoteles was from the point of view of spirit. He could see the substantialistic view of the idea. Saint Augustine went a step forward and could see that an idea exists in God's thought, that the ideas were identical with the concept that God has about the universe. Soul identifies everything with God, and he could see that ideas are ideas of God. He called them God's thought. Then there was a great time lag in between. You know, after St. Augustine came very soon the Dark Ages, and everything seems to be right asleep. Until then, after the Renaissance, people began to take up philosophical, scientific thinking again. And we have that classical philosophical era of Leibniz, Spinoza, who began to see that ideas are, so to say, the root notions of reality, that these ideas combine in a calculus. Leibniz hoped that he would find the calculus of ideas. He didn't call them ideas, he called them monads. He meant with this ideas, and could and hoped that, like he has invented the differential calculus, he could invent a calculus of ideas with which one could reckon every situation. Unfortunately, he never did it. Afterward, so that's principle. He began to see that an idea is operating within a calculus, within a system, Therefore, he had a kind of a concept that the idea had to do with an idea of principle. Afterwards, we have the more pragmatic English people who never like to think systematically, but mostly pragmatically. And so there came that period in the philosophy where the inductional method was being created by Locke and Hume, and because they could see ideas are something living, that the ideas are something that you can see in everyday experience, and therefore through induction see the ideas living and moving behind a situation. That's life. You could see the living nature of ideas, that ideas live in human experience. The 19th century brought a whole range of outstanding philosophers: Kant, Hegel, Schelling, and great thinkers like Goethe, who was much more a scientist than just a poet, and he was the last comprehensivist of that age that always tried to see the whole of everything and not so much the detail and the part. And they got the idea, especially Goethe, that every idea is, so to say, a primordial idea of reality, that all what exists in nature has somewhere an ideal idea that is not materialized and cannot be materialized, that behind everything, behind a blade of grass or a leaf of tree, lies the primeval ideal idea. Therefore, he could see the ideal form of everything would be idea. You have a sense of truth, the form of truth. He could see that the idea does not exist in nature, but the ideal idea would exist in the primordial realm of being. With the 20th century, especially with the 20s, 30s onward, we have those philosophers and physicist philosophers who began to realize really that idea is structural, is integral, that an idea is always compound, that there is a compound idea, that an idea is not just something atomistically, but that an idea is always a compound, a whole structure of ideas. And you can hear the tone of love coming in, the fulfilled sense, the complete sense of idea. And when you see this whole development, then you can see that, again, the Logos, the Word of God, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, was at work to bring out in the thought of the thinkers the developing sense of idea, until at its climax, as we see it today, Mrs. Eddy could take up that thought, and though she was really living in the last century, she just could already see in advance what the idea is and presented the compound idea and presented in the textbook the structure of the idea of science. So what she presented as a final climax concept of idea was, so to say, always adumbrated in the earlier development of the philosopher, and she could take it and climax it in her textbook. If you see this whole development that has gone on, one is naturally not surprised that the students of Christian Science, especially at the early period when she was teaching Christian Science to people that were not well educated or had hardly any education, that it was hardly possible for her to teach the nature of idea, to teach that nothing is going on but principle and idea, and she had to find ways and means how to adapt this high vision to the thought of her students, and so was trying to translate it down to thinking. Therefore, in the last century, the Christian scientists were much more speaking about thoughts than about ideas, about good thoughts and sending good thoughts and having good thoughts, which was naturally a transformed sense of ideas to the human plane of thinking. And it took quite a lot for Kimball at the turn of the century and the beginning of this century to introduce step by step the concept that what we have to deal with are ideas and not thoughts. Still today, I think it's very difficult to make it plain to the Christian scientists that Christian science has not to do with good thinking, not even with scientific thinking, but that it has to do with ideas, scientific ideas, structure of ideas, principles, own idea. In this development, which I have also presented as far as the Christian Science movement is concerned in my little book on the development of the Christian Science idea and practice, there I have shown how in the Christian Science thought that term of idea has developed. And we have seen that there came a time when, after Kimball, when Bicknell Young was more stressing the infinite one and not so much idea. He didn't speak very much about idea, but always about the I am, the one, the infinite one, about the synonymous term themselves as the I and the I am. And it's only when John Dawley came that he would build into that consciousness of the infinite one a structure of ideas. He began to see that the infinite one, as we have seen, if we leave it at that, is actually saying something that has no truth content, and that without the truth content, without showing what the ideas of the infinite one are, really we have not seen very much. So he began to research into the realm of ideas. I think this is one of his many big contributions to focus the study and the research, or his research, the research that the students made, on the question, what are ideas, what constitutes ideas. From there he began to evolve it into an order of idea. The first time in history that ideas were ordered and had definite order, like in the 7 days of creation, first time in history something like that was pointed out, though naturally in symbolism the spirit of it was already in the Bible and in the textbook, but he made aware what is that is there, which is a great thing, to become aware what one has found. I mean, in times past, there were people who went to America, like the Vikings and so on, but they didn't know they were finding America. And Columbus went to America not knowing that he discovered America. He thought he was discovering India. So only when you become consciously conscious of what you do, you really make a contribution to the world. If one finds something new without realizing what it is, then it is not practical and one hasn't made really a contribution to it. So Mrs. Eddy had presented the whole universe of idea, but until it was, so to say, discovered and made conscious to the reader what is in the textbook, until then the idea was there, but it was dormant. So he made it, he brought the awareness of these truths to the student and began to see, as I said, first the order of idea, then he began to see that there is a calculus of idea, that which Leibniz hoped to do and never did. He only put it forward as a proposition. We began to see what it is, that there is a calculus of ideas, that we can reckon with ideas, and that would constitute the reality of being. Today, we go a step further in our age and begin to see the structure of an idea, how to structure being with ideas, and so we contribute a further step to in that long line of discovery. Perhaps a side remark which says, be careful if other people are talking about idea, that they do not mean idea. Usually they mean thought. People in general speak, I've got an idea, or say, this is quite a funny idea, or this is an impossible idea, meaning they use idea for something very different than what we understand under the term idea. And this is true so too of the many metaphysical groups that we have in the Western world. They use sometimes idea, but when you look, what do they mean with idea? They mean thoughts, good thoughts, divine thoughts, things like that. So our definition of idea is completely different than what other people are, how they are interpreting the term. So it is, to a great sense, a semantic question, and one has to be careful when one reads these terms. So don't think that if you read any paper from anybody, from a physicist or from a metaphysician or any of this group, they speak about idea, be careful to investigate what idea means to them, and not just think that because they use the same terms as we use, that they mean the same thing. Idea and ideas are very often used in the textbook. We have about 200 references on idea and about 70 on ideas in the plural. I would like to point out again, like last year, that we must make a very great difference between the singular and the plural. Not every statement that uses idea in the singular can be put in the plural without changing its meaning completely. There are statements which cannot be put into the plural. If Christ is the idea of God, we can never say that Christ are the ideas of God, or that the ideas of God are Christ. That's just not possible. And this is a difference that is so important to spiritual sense, that we see that Mrs. Eddy had a difficulty in using, so to say, the same root idea for two very different purposes. So I try to point out a little bit the difference between idea and ideas, meaning that concept of idea that cannot put into the plural, and that concept of idea that can be put into the plural as ideas. If I have the idea power and the idea substance, or let me put it perhaps even simpler, if I have the idea power, the idea action, the idea law, and the idea guiding and leading, then these ideas constitute the idea of mind. So you can see that mind, or every synonymous term, has an idea. But in order to bring out that idea, it can use ideas. What then is that concept of idea? The big concept is that which can only be stated in the singular, and that is that which really is of greatest import for us. What is meant by idea that cannot be put into the plural? It means that which God, other synonymous terms, conceives as its aim. It conceives how, or I could put it like this, it conceives, so to say, a plan that should be worked out. It conceives not only of the plan, it conceives also of the program, how to work it out. It conceives not only of the program and the plan, but also of the ways and means, the processing of how to arrive at the idea. And it also contains within itself the fulfilling of that plan that has been programmed and conceived. Then you have the idea of God, the singular. It's very difficult to use human words to bring out what is meant by the idea of God, the idea of mind, the idea of spirit, the idea of soul, the idea of principle, life, truth, and love. That's singular. It always means that the synonymous term has a terrific conception of what it wants to achieve. It has a terrific primordial conception of the aim it wants to, how is the English, it wants to achieve? Yes, the aim it wants to achieve, combined with the way it can be achieved, the program how it can be achieved, the blueprint how it can be achieved, the processing of it how it can be achieved, the generalizing it how it can be conceived, and the final achievement itself. That's the idea of God. So every synonymous term has the idea. And in order to bring that out, it can use any of the infinite ideas to bring that about. So that we can say the divine idea, in order to fulfill its purpose, uses all the various individual ideas, plural.